Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. From the Gospel of Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the story of life for the people of God.
Friends, would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, help us to look up and see you this morning. Speak to us, open our hearts, help us to hear the word from you that we are longing to hear. Amen. Some Bible stories, some parables take a lot of work. They take a lot of backstory. They take a lot of explaining and interpreting to have them make sense to modern ears. This is not one of those stories. This story might sound familiar to you. Jesus was talking to a group of people who were so sure they were right. They had contempt and hatred in their heart for other people. And the Pharisee prayed, I thank you, God, that I am not like those other people. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Have we heard this any time lately? Are you picturing this scene? The Pharisee is at the temple. Pharisees get a bad reputation in the Bible, but Pharisees are not bad people. They get a bad reputation because they're authorities on the law. It is they who interpret scripture, and it is they who teach other people. They're invested in the law. So when Jesus comes and he mixes everything up and he says, we're doing things in a new way and it's love that matters now, well, that's hard for the Pharisees. But the Pharisees are devout Jews. So this Pharisee was probably telling the truth. He probably did tithe. He probably did fast 2 times a week. He was a holy man. And he's here today in our scripture at the temple, at the place where heaven and earth meet in sacred space. And the tax collector is also at the temple. And the tax collector was probably a corrupt man. Do you know about tax collectors? Tax collectors were agents of the state. They were part of the Roman Empire. And they were usually corrupt. They were usually asking people for more money than they owed. They were usually wealthy. They were usually well-connected. It would have been surprising for people to see the tax collector at the temple. It would have been unsettling to see the tax collector at the temple. But the tax collector was there. And he, did you hear what he was doing? He was beating his chest in remorse, in regret, praying, God, have mercy on me. He was there at the temple, at the place where heaven and earth meet, in sacred space. And there would have been other people there too. The temple would have been a busy place. There would have been all kinds of people coming to make sacrifice, to make offering, to give prayer and blessing. Did you see where these two are standing? Did you hear in the text where it says they are? Where does it say that they are? The Pharisee is standing by himself, and the tax collector is standing, did you hear? You have it in front of you. Where's the tax collector standing? Far off. Uh-huh. The Pharisee is standing by himself, and the tax collector is standing far off. And the Pharisee sees the tax collector, and the Pharisee follows the script. The rules are that those people are untrustworthy and corrupt, and so he distances himself further and prays, "Thank you, God, that I am not like those people." Friends, they're at the temple, a holy man and a corrupt man beating his chest, begging God for mercy. And the Pharisee follows the script and puts even more space between them. We don't have Pharisees in the same way today, and we don't have tax collectors in the same way today. But do we have people, do we have children of God who are putting distance between themselves, who are focusing on difference instead of similarity? Do we have groups of people who look at each other, exhale long and hard, and distance themselves further and pray, "Thank God I am not like that person"? Do we have those groups? Who are they? Who are the modern day Pharisees and tax collectors? Who are the people, what are our groups that distance ourselves from each other? Who can think of an example? Religious groups. I know who God is. No, I know who God is, so we distance ourselves from each other. Who else? Oh, there it is. Oh, we're all thinking politicians. Thank you, Beth Cossey, for being brave and calling it out. Oh, do our politicians distance ourselves from each other? Oh, and do the people who follow politicians distance ourselves from each other? Yes. Races. We have tremendous racial divide in this country, don't we? We're a room of mostly people of kind of hues of the same color right now, aren't we? What does that mean? We distance ourselves across lines of race. What else? Say it again. Bullies. Bullies do a lot of distancing and line drawing. Who else? Cliques. We have our friend groups, we have our people, we've found our tribe, and so we spend time with our tribe. God forbid someone new come in. The rich and the poor, the wealthy and the poor, the people who have money and the people who don't have money. Countries, people with this passport or this passport, this national identity and that national identity. Say it again. The media. The media spends a lot of time telling us who said what and why we should agree or disagree, believe or not believe.
Ourselves.
Ourselves. In all kinds of ways, right? Because I can do it alone, because I don't need help, because I don't need to ask for anyone for anything, and also because I'm so broken and I'm so hurting, no one could possibly want to spend time with me, no one could possibly need me. Friends, we're standing at the temple. We're standing in holy space. Maybe we're actually in our temples, or maybe we're in the sacred space of trying to build community together. And we're choosing distance when engagement could be life-changing, could be life-saving. We're standing at the temple and we're playing our roles. We're following the script. I'm me and you're you. And so, no, we should never interact or cross lines. When changing the script could be life-changing, could be life-saving. We're playing our roles saying, I'm right and you're wrong. And so we're praying, thank God I'm not like them. When looking at them and seeing the face of God there could be life-changing, could be life-saving. Now, I know this is hard work. I know that we're divided for reasons, And I know that we're committed and convicted to change the world. I know that there are things worth showing up for, worth fighting for, worth persisting for. Those of you who were here last week, we talked about one of them. There are things in the world worth showing up for and changing. I'm not saying let go of your convictions. Roll up your sleeves, beloved of God, and change the world. We need you. But I am saying that just because we disagree doesn't mean we have to hate each other, doesn't mean we have to hurt each other, doesn't mean we have to seek violence against each other, doesn't mean we have to pray to God, thank God I'm not like them. What would happen if we saw the face of the other, even saw the face of God, even in the face of the other who we disagree with? How could that change us? I had the privilege of being at our main conference annual meeting yesterday. Laura Cleveland and Brian Cushing were there with me. We were there. It was a good trio together. And our conference minister, Reverend Deborah Blood, spoke about the state of the world and the state of our UCC conference. And she said this. She said, "We're in trouble, and the world needs us." And by us, she meant the people of the UCC, and by us, she meant our churches, and by us, she meant you, and she meant me. She meant we have a role to play in this, beloved of God. And our keynote speaker, the Reverend Chris Davies, who was speaking at that conference, talked about bridge building. And you know what she said over and over again? She said, for bridges to be built, we need people on both sides willing to do the work. We need people on both sides willing to do the work to build the bridges. Friends, we have to start somewhere. Could we start with you? Could we start with our church? What would it look like if First Church Bridgeton UCC said, we're going to change the world? How could we live that out? We talked a couple weeks ago about mustard seeds, right? About starting small. Maybe the change starts right here in this room, you and me, this congregation, this moment. What does it look like if we start small? Maybe the change is small. Maybe it's your Facebook page. Maybe you commit on Facebook or in some other kind of public discourse, you are only going to say kind words. Maybe it's one day. Maybe you pick one day a week. Maybe Tuesday is your kind day. And on Tuesdays, you don't say anything bad about anyone. You say only words that build people up. And if that goes well, maybe Wednesday you do that too. I heard a story when I was in Kansas at the Church of the Resurrection from a pastor about how he carries 5 pennies in his right pocket every day. And 5 times a day, he tries to do something boldly loving. And every time he does something that to him feels like he stood in the face of something and he was loving, he takes one of those pennies and puts them in his other pocket, and he doesn't go to sleep until all 5 pennies have moved pockets every day. What if we start small? Seeds. Every Tuesday, your Facebook page, 5 times when you speak love in the face of something that's not loving every day. Or maybe we go big. I heard this crazy story on NPR this past summer on the Invisibilia podcast. Any of you listen to the Invisibilia podcast? Mm-hmm. It's a crazy podcast, right, Kevin? It's this wild story. A family was having dinner in their backyard, in their patio, and it was one of those magic summer nights. The sun was shining, and the food was amazing, and the wine was amazing, and they had friends over, and it was just this, you know, one of those perfect nights. And a man came into their backyard with a gun, and he pointed the gun at them and he said, "Give me your money or I'll shoot you." But nobody had any money on them. So the people gathered in the backyard, they tried a few things. They tried to reason with him, said, "Please don't." Somebody said, "What would your mother think about this?" Well, that didn't work. And then somebody said, would you like to have a glass of wine? And the man said, yes, I'll have a glass of wine. So he had a glass of wine, and he said, this is good wine. And then he shared some of their appetizers, and then he said, I think I've come to the wrong place. This is a true story. And then he asked for a hug, and they hugged him. And the ending of the story is that he left in peace. Nobody got hurt. And the next day, that family found the wine glass he'd been drinking out of placed on the bottom step of the stairs that lead into their backyard. Now, I hope none of you ever lives that story, because I hope all of you is always safe. But I think we have something to learn from this story. Did you miss the part in Scripture where the tax collector is beating his chest and praying for mercy? Did we forget for a moment that we're all hurting and we're all anxious and we're all afraid and we're all alone and we're all in need of being seen and known and offered a hug? It's a crazy world out there, and it's lonely and it's scary, and the world needs more of us. We need more of each other. We need people willing to get creative, people willing to do something new, people willing to offer wine in a frightening moment, people willing to speak love in the face of what is not loving. We need people willing to start finding ways to be vulnerable and real in community, even in hurting, scary, uncertain times, even today. We need to find ways to start being together, to stop standing so alone at the temple. So, beloved of God, won't you hear the warning in our story today that so much is lost when we distance ourselves from each other and from our very selves? Won't you hear the invitation in our text today to something new, to build bridges, to get creative, to live your truth, and to also live with love towards every other? A Pharisee and a tax collector are at the temple. The Republican and the Democrat meet each other on the street. The person of color and the white person are in a conversation on Facebook. The bully and the kind one sit down together at the dinner table. The Black Lives Matter protester and the policeman meet each other at a barbecue. The straight man and the gay man, the able-bodied and the disabled, they all meet. And, well, it's not my story to tell. It's your story to live. Won't you rewrite this parable with me? Won't you live a new ending with me? Amen.